You're listening to the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network, part of Sports Illustrated, giving you daily NFL Draft, Dynasty, and Devy Fantasy Football podcasts.
This is a special episode of the Devy Seminar presented by Sports Illustrated's NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. I was fortunate enough to sit down for an interview with the one and only Phil Steele, an absolute godfather of college football. Phil was gracious enough to talk with me about this upcoming season, some of the top prospects to watch for in 2022. So we're going to go ahead and jump right into the interview now. All right. I am here, thrilled to be here with the one and only Phil Steele. Phil, I am absolutely excited, a little starstruck, I'll be honest here. I get the opportunity to speak with you today. Truly, no opinion in college football that I value higher than Phil Steele's. I always have the college football preview guide, and I know the season has started, but this thing is chock full of information. So if you don't have it already, you absolutely need to go and grab Phil Steele's college football preview 2021 as soon as possible. But Phil, thank you so much for joining me today.
Hey, a real pleasure. Appreciate the kind comments. And like you said, you'll probably be using the magazine. If you go pick it up today, you'll be using it all the way through the final bowl game that happens this year. It's got that much information in it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been on my desk since, I believe, July, and I don't think it's going to leave. But Phil, let's go ahead and jump right into it here. I want to talk a little college football with you today, but also get into some draft prospects that we're excited to talk about here. I think right off the bat here, kind of a big picture question. One of the things that you could find in the College Football Preview magazine, and it's something we talk about a lot in college sports, is the value of experience here. And you have experience laid out for each individual team, but we're kind of in a unique situation coming off a COVID year. Most teams have more experience than ever. So I'm interested to hear your thoughts on how that's going to factor into the season overall, and if there's certain teams that you have in mind that are going to benefit from that returning experience.
Yeah, it is very interesting this year. In fact, I talked to 110 of the 130 head coaches this season, going over their team with them, and almost all the conversations were the same at the start, where the coach would say, wow, normally in spring practice, we're scraping to get it too deep together. This year, we were able to run three full teams all spring long. We are so deep. And you, with the majority of teams, I think there's only about 10 teams that don't have 15, 16, 17 returning starters. You got to think that a lot of that cancels out. But which teams will benefit the most from this experience? Well, my thought process is this. A team like LSU will benefit the most because last year they were one of the least experienced teams in the country. They had just two starters back on offense, three on defense. This year they've got nine on offense, nine on defense. So if a team had 15 returning starters last year and now has 16, there might be minor improvement, but a team that had just five and going up to 18, I think will have the biggest improvement. The other factor, I think, happens at the end of the year. And, you know, I'll pick out a team like Wake Forest. And it was interesting talking to Coach Clawson and going over the Wake Forest team with him. He pointed out to me that Wake Forest has been having some troubles at the end of the year. And I looked in my magazine and checked out the last three games of the season. And sure enough, they have a losing record over the last three games of the season, the last 5 years. But he said this year, with the depth that Wake Forest has, he thinks they won't wear down like they normally do. Normally, when the injuries and things that happen during the course of the season pop up, they are so thin that they're actually putting some walk-ons on the field at the end of the year. And that won't happen this year. So I think in a team like Wake Forest, you're going to see them have a better finish to the season because they're as deep as they've ever been.
Yeah, that's fantastic. You know, you think about the quality of college football overall, and when a team like Wake Forest is pushing that level of competition up in the ACC, that really helps make, you know, college football a really interesting sport to watch all the way through the end of the season. So I'm looking forward to that. and still getting, I think, some surprise, you know, competitive matchups towards the end of the season with teams at that same level as Wake Forest. So that's fantastic. You know, I want to jump into some of our favorite draft prospects here. You know, I'm very interested in two guys in particular that are top 10 quarterbacks here. You do list your prospects for the 22 NFL draft in the college football preview. And there's two guys that I like now, and I think more folks might be really into them by the end of the season. The first one is Jaden Daniels, the quarterback out of Arizona State. And the second one is Matt Corral, the quarterback out of Ole Miss. Jaden Daniels currently ninth on your quarterback list. Matt Corral currently 10th. But I think both of these individuals could play themselves into day one quarterback conversation here by the end of the season. What do you think those two guys need to do to improve their stock to that point?
Well, I think with Jaden Daniels, the one thing I'd like to see is see him put on some weight. Now, he did add 10 pounds this year. He's up to about 187, 190 pounds. That's good. Probably needs to add a little bit more weight. But he's a dynamic quarterback that can hurt you both running and passing. Last year, he ran for 6.8 yards per carry, 223 yards in their limited amount of games that Arizona State played. Another thing I think Daniels needs to improve on is his consistency. You know, they hit 58%, or he hit 58% last year, but I'd like to see him be a little more consistent. He's had some rough stretches in his career during games, you know, maybe it lasts for a quarter or so. So I think if he adds a little weight, gains consistency, then he could live up to that billing of getting into the first round. And he's got great supporting talent, so you know he should put up really good stats this year. Matt Corral's another guy that might just lead the country in passing this season because he has a great supporting cast. He's in the Lane Kiffin offense. Corral was one of my top quarterbacks coming out of high school. And so, you know, he's a guy that has decent size. He's only 6'1", but overall, he showed a command of that offense last year. And keep in mind, he didn't have spring to work on the new offense and didn't have a lot of time in the offseason. So I'm expecting him to have a really big season this year, throwing the football to the weapons he has in that offense. And I think he's already up there on that list. So I think both guys do have that potential this year.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I got to ask you about somebody else here. He's a little bit deeper in the rankings. I don't think folks have quite caught on to him in the way that they should. But I'm expecting a big season at a Boston College's Phil Dracovich. Do you see him as somebody who could possibly take a big step forward here in 2021?
Yeah, absolutely. And you go back to last year. He's another one of those quarterbacks that didn't have the benefit of spring, had a brand new head coach. And here's the thing with Dracovich, and it's you take a look at last year's offensive line for Boston College. And, you know, speaking of draft eligible guys, I think they got four guys that are NFL caliber there in Alec Lindstrom, Mahogany, Johnson, and Vrabel. So they've got talent on the offensive line. But last year was a drastic switch, going from the Adazio pure run game to more of a pass game under Halfley. And what we saw was the offensive line struggled. They gave up 28 sacks on the year. Only open holes for 3.1 yards per carry. They've got too much talent to repeat that. So I think he's going to have a vastly improved offensive line in front of him. He's got weapons. Jalen Gill, the Ohio State transfer. Zay Flowers, who was their game-breaking wide receiver last year, is back. Kobe White. They also have an outstanding tight end in Trey Berry. So a really good supporting cast. And Dracovic is a guy that was my number four rated quarterback coming out of high school. Now, he has no question size-wise. I talked about some questions about the earlier guys, but Dracovic is 6'5", 226, and he's a guy that hadn't played since high school, basically, until last year, and really improved. He's in the second year of that offense. I think he's got a great shot at being up there. Now, he's listed as a sophomore, and generally sophomores can't come out, but of course, with that extra year, he's been around long enough to come out. So I agree with you there. I think he's probably ranked a little bit low.
Yeah, I'm excited to see, you know, certainly a big arm there at times, really pinpoint accuracy. So hoping it all comes together for him this year and he's the next Boston College quarterback to make it onto the NFL. You know, Phil, we had a big stage last night. We're recording here on Friday morning, and we had a big stage last night to see Ohio State play. And speaking of the NFL draft, you know, certainly it looks like they have two wideouts that have the potential to go in the first round here. A lot of folks are focused on Garrett Wilson versus Chris Olave and which wide receiver do you like more. I don't think we have to choose. because I think we have two first-round talents with these wide receivers. Could you see them leading the way here in the 2022 draft?
Absolutely, and they'll both be up there. They'll both be probably in the upper half of the first round coming into it. You know, Olave is a guy that wasn't highly rated coming out of high school. Maybe he doesn't have all the measurables you want, but you saw yesterday in that game his game-breaking ability, and if he gets the ball with just a little bit of space, he can take it the distance. And Garrett Wilson has all those attributes he wants. He was one of the higher-rated guys coming out of high school, my number three rated receiver, and he has lived up to it. So those, it's a great comfort level for Ryan Day and having a young quarterback room where Chad actually heading into the game, zero career pass attempts, first time since 1952. To be able to throw to those two guys is should make CJ Stroud a much better quarterback.
Yeah, absolutely. And Phil, one of the parts of the College Football Preview magazine as well, it features the recruiting rankings. And you know, you look at some of the top recruiting programs: Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia, Clemson, Oregon, and there's certainly a lot of freshmen who I think could make a potential impact this year. And I'm interested to hear your thoughts on, you know, maybe who some of those freshmen could be. And we certainly saw Travion Henderson already making an impact last night.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I projected Travion Henderson as a starting running back at Ohio State. He didn't start last night. In fact, he wasn't in there for the first couple series of the game. But when he was on the field, he was dynamic. So I think he will make a major impact. And I think by midseason, he'll be the starting running back at Ohio State, even though they looked like they had a pretty good running back room back there last night. A couple other guys to watch. Watch Mario Williams at Oklahoma. He's got Spencer Rattler throwing to him. Could have a big season this year. And then, you know, you look on the defensive line. Jack Sawyer didn't get a lot of playing time last night for Ohio State, but I think he's a guy that by midseason will earn his way into the rotation and could have a pretty big impact this year.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Phil, one of the more interesting teams, I think, for me to anticipate watching and growing this year is North Carolina. It seems like they are a team that is on the brink of pushing for that college football playoff, you know, with Clemson essentially having a new starting quarterback. I know, DJ, you got some exposure last year, but essentially their top competition has a new quarterback at the helm. North Carolina, it seems like they're poised to make a real run at the ACC title as well. And you have them projected to be atop of the Coastal, but they're replacing a lot of weapons here, replacing Javonte Williams, Michael Carter, Dyami Brown, Des Newsome. How do you expect them to, you know, stay atop of the Coastal and stay competitive with Clemson in the ACC?
Well, I think, first of all, the guy that at the quarterback position really helps in Sam Howell. And they lose, you correctly mentioned the players they lost, and it's not just any losses. It's, as you mentioned, Dyami Brown, Des Newsome, a receiver, Michael Carter, Javonte Williams, a running back. Now, let's take a look at the receiver position. Last year, Dyami Brown, Des Newsome combined for about 1,700 yards. I think no matter who the top two receivers are this year, and if I'm projecting it, probably be Josh Downs, Coffrey Brown, Bo Corrales. Two of those three will be their top two receivers. I think the top two receivers with Sam Howell throwing the football will combine for 1,700 yards like they did last year. So I'm not too concerned about the wide receiver room. However, at running back, while there's talent there, I like both Ty Chandler and Caleb Hood. They're replacing two guys that each rush for over 1,000 yards and combined average 7.7 yards per carry. Well, I can tell you that Ty Chandler and Caleb Hood are not going to both rush for 1,000 yards and average 7.7, so they're weaker in that spot. But the offensive line's improved, and I think the biggest improvement on North Carolina this year is going to be defensively. These guys look good getting off the bus. They're big, they're strong, they're fast, they're physical across the board. They have a really good-looking defensive line, linebacking core, and secondary. And I think they're going to have a vastly improved defense this year over last year when they gave up almost 30 points per game. So I think all that helps North Carolina. Then you look at the schedule. They avoid Clemson in regular season play. Probably the biggest toss-up games for them, they host Miami, which is big, and the reason I picked them to win the Coastal. And remember, last year they did beat Miami pretty handily. They also go into Notre Dame. That's going to be a big, tough test there, but it's a winnable game as well. And then they do have two tough road trips at the end of the year, at Pitt and at NC State, both dangerous. We saw NC State look pretty good last night as well. But North Carolina is my pick to win the Coastal, and I think they have a shot if they play Clemson in the ACC title game. They have a puncher's chance of winning that with that Sam Howell guy at quarterback.
a pretty good guy to have at quarterback, absolutely. Phil, I'd like to go from the East Coast over to the West Coast. One of the teams that you have identified as, I don't know if sleeper is the right word, or a team that you expect to perform at a higher rate than a lot of folks, is the University of Washington Huskies. I'm also closely, you know, keeping an eye on Oregon for the Pac-12. Are those the two teams you think have the best shot at a Pac-12 title this year?
I think there's four teams that have a really good shot, because I also include USC and Utah in the mix. I think both those teams are capable of being there. With Oregon, they just play a tougher schedule than everybody else. They have to play Washington on the road. They have to play Utah on the road this year. They, of course, open up with Ohio State on the road. That's not an easy schedule. Now, you mentioned Washington. They are my number one surprise team this year. And for those that aren't familiar with the magazine, my surprise teams are non-top 10 teams that I think have a shot at making the playoff. And it's done very well. In fact, 2016, I had Washington as my number one surprise team. They weren't ranked in the top 10. They made the playoff that year. 2018, same thing with Notre Dame. Number one surprise team, not in the preseason top 10. They made the playoff. 2019, it got close. I had Utah. Had they won the Pac-12 title game, they would have gotten there. And then in 2021, last year, I took a five-loss Texas A&M ahead of my number one surprise team, and they almost made it. They were there on Selection Sunday. It was either them or Ohio State to make the playoff. The reason I like Washington this year, they have a big offensive line. I mean, we're talking about 328-pound average. They may be up to 330 by the time the season starts. They've got a deep set of running backs. They go about five or six deep there. They've got Kate Otten at tight end and two veteran quarterbacks in Dylan Morris and Patrick O'Brien. Defensively, Jimmy Lake always does a great job with that unit. They've had just two and six returning starters the last 2 years. This year, they have eight starters back. So the defense will be top notch. I also think this year that home field advantage is going to be huge, because fans weren't allowed to go to the games last year. They're not only going to come back in big numbers, but very loud, because they're excited to be there. And Washington's schedule sets up well. They avoid USC and Utah, the two teams I said were Pac-12 contenders out of the South. And their two toughest games this year are Oregon and Arizona State. And they get them both at home in Husky Stadium. So I've actually got Washington favored in all 12 games this year. And that makes them my number one surprise team. And they're barely even in the top 25 this season. So that would definitely be a surprise, with Oregon being the consensus pick to win the division Washington's in.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, certainly going to be keeping a close eye on Washington as well. I think, you know, in my mind, it seemed like, you know, they consistently are there. And you look at your track record with picking the surprise team. So I am excited to keep an eye on them. I always love my Pac-12 after dark. So Washington's going to be atop of the slate. Phil, one more question here. I got to ask you before we go. We always love talking about the big teams, the Power Five teams, but I love getting into the Group of Five guys as well. I think there's always some hidden gems there, especially when you're thinking about the draft process. Are there particular offenses or particular players coming out of the Power Five that you're excited to watch this year and you feel like they could be impact players here coming out of the 2022 NFL draft?
Yeah, throw a couple of them out, and we'll start with the Cincinnati Bearcats, which probably have the best Group of Five team out there. In fact, it wouldn't surprise me this year if Cincinnati actually was the only Group of Five team to ever make it into the four-team playoff, because they're in the top 10 at the start of the year. They play two big games early on at Indiana, at Notre Dame, and both games I consider winnable. And the talent that Cincinnati has, you know, let's talk about quarterbacks, Desmond Ridder. Now, if you watch Cincinnati in the first two or three games last year, Desmond Ridder didn't look good. He looked more of like a liability at times. But then all of a sudden there was this transformation, and Desmond Ridder started looking like the quarterback everybody thought he might be heading into the season. He's got good size. He's 6'4", 215, and had a great finish to the season. If he's piloting a number one team and putting up big stats, and he's got a good receiving core to throw to, I think he could emerge. And then how about at the defensive end spot for Cincinnati as well, in Myjai Sanders? He's a guy that can get he had seven sacks last year, is great coming off the edge. He added a little bit of weight this year, and he's a guy that clearly has some NFL prospects. Both he and their outside linebacker, Darren Beavers, have those prospects this year. If you take a look at some of the Sun Belt teams looking for prospects, I would say maybe a Cameron Peoples at App State. Nobody's really even talking about him at the end of the season, but he could potentially have a pretty good season this year. And he is, he's going to become the featured running back most likely. And 6'2", 215 pounds, but he's got good speed. So I like the size speed ratio that he has coming for him. And defensively, if you're taking a look at the Sun Belt teams, I would have to look at Coastal Carolina and maybe a CJ Brewer inside a defensive tackle. He's a guy that's a leader, a great motivator, and he's got great short area quickness, and he reads blocks well. I think he's got a chance to make it in the NFL, as does Jeffrey Gunter, their defensive end. Remember last year they had a defensive end in Taron Jackson that got drafted by Philadelphia. I think those two guys up front can create a lot of havoc for the defense for Coastal Carolina.
Phil, I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with me today, talking about all of the information that is jam-packed into the 2021 college football preview from Phil Steele. If you have not already gotten it, you need to make sure that you get this. We mentioned it earlier. It's chock full of information that's going to carry it all the way through bowl season. Phil, thanks so much.
Hey, it was a lot of fun talking football with you. I really enjoyed it. And, you know, as you mentioned, the magazine, make sure you pick it up. It's at Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, places like that out there. And, you know, I always enjoy reading the NFL Draft Bible as well. So I'm glad that I got my copy of the NFL Draft Bible this year. You guys do great work.
Thanks, Phil. I really appreciate that.